Kristen Odlin from the Calgary Herald joins us now to break down the Flames. Kristen, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Yeah, that was wild yesterday. I was like, well, you know, you spend a whole month with the Oilers, you get to know the Oilers and their systems and make some connections on the team, and then you sign with the Flames. Sounds about right.
Well, clearly, clearly Brad Treveland's a genius. He basically put Versteegen undercover and just waited till the last moment to sign him.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Chris Versteeg yesterday, and of course, you know, the Oilers offered him a contract, but there wasn't really, I mean, you guys are more familiar with the situation in Edmonton up close and personal, but it didn't sound like there was going to be a lot of playing time available for the right winger or on the right wing for Chris Versteeg. So, and the Flames have long been advertising vacancy on the top line with Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan to find somebody to play with those two guys. So it just, timing worked out. Flames were there. And I think, you know, and it's so hard for somebody on the outside to look at it and not be like, well, what? That makes no sense. But it's opportunity. It's a little bit of gut feeling. And Chris, I was talking to him yesterday, and he even said, like, I'm not sure if it's going to work out, but hey, I got to try. And, yep. And you know, maybe I'll play with them the whole year, but you never know. So he kind of had the idea that he would start on a line with Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan. But we'll see how that all pans out and if he's, you know, if he sticks.
Yeah, no, I understand why he would make that decision then, clearly. Right now, Eberle was going to be the number one right winger in Edmonton. I don't think there's any debate about that. I noticed there's lots of concern right now, and it's opening day lineup. It's only one game. But you've got Giordano and Weidman as one pairing. Then you've got Brody in your second pair and Dougie Hamilton in your third pair. That's not going to last, is it? Like, Derek Englund's, like, I don't even know which one's the second or which one's the third pair. But at some point, isn't Hamilton and Brody going to be a pairing?
Well, for most of, for the last few years at least, it's been Mark Giordano and TJ Brody. They've just been solid together. TJ Brody's a left-shooting defenseman. So he's on his natural side playing on the left side with Derek Englund, and so is Mark Giordano. So Mark Giordano's on that left side. So I can see Glenn Gullitson's thinking there. Man, I tweeted out the defensive pairings, and fans were just going nuts. They couldn't believe that they split up Giordano and Brody. It was like, it was wild. But, you know, I can understand Glenn Gullitson's reasoning. You know, you want to kind of spread the wealth a bit. They're putting, at least to start, they're putting Dennis Wyman on the top pairing with Mark Giordano, and then you have TJ Brody and Derek Englund, who did play together during the playoff run, that short two-round playoff run in 2015, and he did well. I mean, most defensemen, if you play more, your play rises, so that's kind of the case with Derek Englund. And now you look at Dougie Hamilton and Jyrki Jokipäkä, and that's the third pairing that they have there. So it's just kind of all messed up. I wouldn't read into the first pairing, second pairing, and their kind of importance at this point, because it's just an experiment. I think we'll see how long it lasts. We'll time will tell. But definitely that's the way that they've been practicing, at least to start this year.
Kristen, let's go to Johnny Gaudreau. Before his contract, you know, there was talk about him maybe wanting as much as $8 million. I think a lot of people thought it would at least start with a 7. Treliven gets him done over the term at 6.75. To me, that's a lot of money, but it's a terrific deal for the Flames, and they have their best player to start the season. How important is that in the bigger picture?
Oh, absolutely. And the term was really important too, because, of course, Sean Monahan, his deal is going to be up a year after Johnny Gaudreau. So there's a little bit of flexibility there with the two kind of big contracts. But signing, I mean, the negotiations went on and on and on, and it was, you know, rumored to be over $1.5 million. And yeah, I've heard the $8 million range as well, too. I mean, that was kind of the thought that Gaudreau's camp had requested, that or somewhere in between, like Tarasenko-type money. But to get Johnny Gaudreau for just under seven, the same contract basically as Mark Giordano. I think that was just a great, great steal. Not necessarily a steal, but it's a great deal for the Flames. He sells the most jerseys in Calgary. There's no question about it. It's like McDavid, and not to say that they're the same player. They're definitely not, but it's just no question. I mean, he's going to get paid. But to have him at the same as Mark Giordano, I think there was some talk about not him not earning more than their captain. But they had to do it. Like, as if they would start the season without Johnny Gaudreau. He's their best player, and he's one of the stars, and he's going to be for a long time now in Calgary.
And he's a wealthy young man now. You know, at that level, you know, it's a different world. But, you know, that quote about he just wanted to get back to playing hockey, smart thing to say for public consumption. To the best of your knowledge, though, have both sides come out of this? Was it strictly business, no bad feelings, everybody's ready to go?
I think there may have been, you know, it's tough to say. It's tough to say, honestly. You know, business, hockey's a business, and this is, you know, Johnny's real first glimpse at how difficult the business can be. And he just wanted a fair deal for him and his family and his side of things. So you have to look at the bigger picture. I think it was easy to ask those questions yesterday at practice when you're watching him and you're thinking, well, there's this and there's this, and there's got to be some animosity. And is it going to carry over into the regular season? But the biggest picture is that he's back, I think. And there's no question the Flames are better with him in the lineup. And you saw it yesterday at practice, and you'll see it again tonight. I'm sure he'll, whatever animosity was there, you know, maybe it's just water under the bridge in the next couple of weeks.
Kristen Odlin joins us breaking down the Calgary Flames. So you look at their top line, and Gaudreau and Monahan scored a lot last year. I know their points on the road and at home are definitely a cause for concern, but, you know, they weren't going to score as much as they did on the road. Otherwise, they'd both be 110-point players. So, but if you look at their scoring after that, that's obviously the big question in Calgary this year because, you know, they got production from their back end, but their forwards basically number 4 through 12 didn't do anything. What makes you believe it will be different this year, or is that still a major area of concern?
I think you look at the numbers last year comparatively, road to home points, and you know, that was always the question, where's Johnny on the road? Like, you know, why can't he kind of do the same thing he does at home on the road? It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because with another year under their belts, some solidity, like some, their contracts are solidified. You do see that changing. You do see, and you'd like to think that another year in the league for both of them, they'll kind of figure it out in opposing barns. But I do see it as a bit of, definitely maybe not as concerned, but also playing under Glenn Gulston might change things too. I mean, you have a new voice, you have a reasonable coach who kind of understands the game and understands the way players work and the way people work, and is really trying hard to get to know each player individually to figure out what motivates them. So there's lots of different factors to suggest that you know, those numbers would improve, definitely Johnny Gaudreau's numbers, especially on the road.
Well, Kristen, you know, off year last year, after exceeding the expectations of a lot of people the season before, Bob Hartley obviously wore out his welcome, a different voice, as you said. When you look at this Flames roster from top to bottom, are we talking sort of a middle ground in your mind between the overachieving year and last year? I mean, is this a playoff team when you size up the division and the conference? Where are the Flames when you look at them?
You'd have to think they're a playoff team. And I'm sure internally they believe it too. It's been such an interesting concept heading into the season. Like, what are they? Are they Are they another, is it going to be another rebuilding year? Is it going to be another year like last year where there are high hopes? But, you know, the on-ice product doesn't exactly deliver. Or is it going to be like 2 years ago where they make the playoffs? It's tough to think that they do not have a playoff mentality when you sign a guy like Brian Elliott, you bring in a guy like Chad Johnson, you bring in a guy like Troy Brouwer, who have all won, and they're bona fide NHLers, and they know what it takes to win in this league. You have got to think that they're thinking playoffs. And bringing a guy like Chris Versteeg, I mean, you can say whatever you want, but he's a two-time Stanley Cup winner. So it would be really tough to think that they still believe that they are in a rebuilding phase. Of course, they made the playoffs in the second year of the rebuild. And that first year, 2013-14, the year before they made the playoffs, was a for sure bona fide rebuild. But now, you know, there's higher expectations for Sam Bennett as well. They have a young guy in Matthew Tkachuk who knows if he'll stay around for the past the 9-game mark. But there's lots of elements that suggest that they are going for it. And they're going to, you know, if they're not, I wouldn't necessarily call them contenders. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that. But you have to think they're serious about making the playoffs if they go and make all those moves.
Speaking of Tkachuk, and you won't know till the 9-game mark, but from what you've seen, and when you look at the history of most 18-year-old players, like, do you see him sticking in Calgary past the end of this month?
If you asked me about a month ago, I would say I'm not entirely sure. I'm getting more and more, leaning more and more to the side that he might stick around longer than 9 games. He's gotten better and better as camp has gone on, especially the preseason games. You saw him start to, I guess, maybe just get a little bit more comfortable. He's still a bit wide-eyed. You see him and you talk to him and he's still a little bit, he still knows it's pretty cool. And he's a teenager. He's 18 years old. But he, on ice, he plays like he did in junior, like you saw at the Memorial Cup. He's tough to play against. Goes into the dirty areas of the game, plays in the guts of the game, as Brad Treliving likes to call it. I think Brian Burke, I can't remember the exact quote, but something about being a tough SOB, pain in the butt to play against. That's what that was the exact quote from Brian Burke at the draft. But then, you know, it's nice to say all these things in the summertime when he's just coming into the camp, but. And then he goes and kind of proves it. So it's going to be a game-by-game basis, especially when the regular season starts here tonight. He has those 9 games to prove himself. They don't have a number in mind in terms of how many games they'd like to see him for. But my gut feeling is that he might stick around. He might do enough in these 9 games to prove he deserves to play. And his dad is going to be in the audience tonight in Edmonton. His dad and his mom were flying out yesterday to catch his NHL debut at Rexall Place. So lots of butterflies probably going on for Matthew Tkachuk tonight, but we'll see how things play out this year.
Well, I hope he brings a little jerk factor. That would make the Battle of Alberta more entertaining. It's always fun to have a few players on each side that the fan bases do not like. And I think, you know what, you want Flame fans to hate Lucic and others, and you want the Order fans to maybe despise a few of the Calgary Flames. It makes it better.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And if that pre-game ceremony ever ends, I can't wait to see it tonight. I heard they have a 45-minute presentation.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be that long. We'll see. But, yeah, it's definitely it's going to be long. I'm curious to see what they have. With the new technology in the arena, I'm curious to see what they can bring out. Because that's just, you know, nowadays with technology, so much of it's built, and you'll see probably the stuff they have on the ice. And, you know, we've seen it at the Olympics and different other venues. So I'm quite curious, actually, to see what they unveil tonight.
Well, we have building envy in Calgary, that's for sure. And you know, us Calgarians, we don't like to say we like too many things about Edmonton, but man, you guys are really lucky to have that beautiful building to start the season. So definitely jealous here in Calgary.
Well, I'm sure Oilers fans won't rub that in the face of Calgarians for the next 5 years at all. So that should be fun. Now, Kristen, I appreciate your time. Enjoy the home and home series tonight and Friday.
Thank you so much. You guys too. Bye-bye.